Really?
Okay, would you join us as we begin our worship? Our first song will be on page 485 in your Baptist hymnals.
After service, and there is no evening services or choir practice. October 13th, there is Alpena School Ministry. Meet here at 9:30 and see Margie if you'd like to help out. October 14th, there is NABA Annual Meeting at Union Baptist Church. There's a meal at 5:30 and the meeting starts at 6:30. October 15th is Awana's meal at 5, class at 6. October 19th is small groups at 6. And then October 25th, there is dogs and horses at Brother Lanny and Gwen's house at 4 p.m. And then November 2nd is the Hallelujah Festival at 5. The theme is Hillbilly.
All right. I think that's it. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray. Just thank you for this day. God, I pray for Brother Wade and the message he's going to bring. God, I pray you speak through him to us. God, I pray watch and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, our next selection will be page 469, Revive Us Again. And let's greet each other.
Thank you.
Glory, page 633.
Thank you. Let us bow. Our Father, we're indeed thankful and grateful for the opportunity that we have to come and worship you today. And Father, we just pray that our worship will be pleasing to you. And Father, as we take this offering, we just thank you for the many blessings. And Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you by giving. And Father, we just thank you that we have the organizations within our church that honor you throughout our church, all the activities. And Father, we just ask that now that you bless this offering, bless the gift and the giver. These things I pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
think Children's Church can be dismissed. I was sitting there enjoying the music, and I realized that I wasn't ready to go yet. So, and then my other rule applied. I have this rule that if no one else moves up front, it's probably my turn. So, and I didn't see anybody moving. So, there we go. I was sitting there, and I said to Brent, whenever it was announced the Hallelujah Festival theme is hillbilly, I said, well, at least I won't have to dress up. And then I thought, isn't that the laziest theme? Lauren's not here. Somebody relay this to Lauren. None of us will have to do anything. So, I mean, maybe a few of you that moved in, but the rest of us, we're pretty good, right? All right, so depends on where you move from, I guess. But I have found, I'm going to tell this on myself. I went home one day, and back in the day of answer machines, when we had a home phone, some of y'all, that we used to have a phone in the house. And, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Now nobody has a home phone anymore. And I checked the answering machine, and I'm like, who is that hillbilly on the answering machine? I can't understand a word he says. And then I thought, that's the message I left for Brandy. That was. And then it became very clear to me why no one knew what I was talking about at work over the phone, and except for the folks in Tennessee and Kentucky. They could always understand me. It's a latitude thing. It really was. So anyway, I will mention, some of y'all, you know, you probably have dogs, and you wonder how often your dog barks. Some dogs bark more than others, but they've done a study recently of how many times the average dog barks, and it's like 526 times a day, but that's just a rough estimate. So, anyway, so there we go. I'm still waiting for the corner back there. all right. Anyway, we'll get on this morning. I was trying to think if I had. Oh, I did have something I want to share with y'all, and I hope that it embarrasses her because it's so fun to do so, Brittany. So if you guys don't know, and I was given permission to say this out loud, right? Okay, all right. So Brittany has a ring on her finger, so congratulations to Brittany and Evan. So go by and make sure she shows it to you so that it will embarrass her even more, and she will be as red as she is now. So anyway, congratulations to you guys, I wanted to mention. Oh, I knew there was something else. So I have a baptism certificates, and I was told that I'm a slacker here recently. So Debbie or Deborah Henry, if you'll come up, it's April the 13th. April the 13th. You guys may remember that. So there you go. And so I finally, you know, Deanne's like, well, do you have them? And I was looking. I'm like, I know I have them. I know I signed them. And they were, I even brought them up here. They were in the pulpit hiding. So I told her they were standing back there on my desk, reminded me of my failures. And anyway, somebody moved them where they wouldn't remind me. But anyway,
yeah,
so.
The last baptism.
Well, yeah, we so skipped. It was two or three baptisms away. Yeah.
Pam's like, did you get a certificate? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
She's like, well, we gotta talk to you.
So my next one is Pansy, if you'll come up. I was looking a while ago. I was like, is Pansy here? And I'm looking everywhere. I can't see Pansy. And finally, I gave up and looked forward, and she was in the choir. So So there you go, Pansy. So, yeah, that's, you know, 6 months late or
nine,
something. Yeah. And, yeah, I've got a lot. And Remington. So, and, well, you know, I held that because you was working nights. I have Olivia's. Do you think she would mind if I gave it to you, or do you think we'll make her come up later? Well, we'll just make her come up later. I've got more to go. So, all right. So, they were here. I think all those even got signs. So, anyway, we'll get on here this morning. I don't think I have anything else I've been forgetting for 6 months. So, you know, are you prepared for what's next? You know, we've been talking the last couple Sundays about being, you know, our road trip, getting ready to go. And are you prepared for what's next? And you know it's coming. You don't know what it is, but you know it's coming, right? And you know some of what's coming, for sure. And, you know, we know that something is coming, and are you prepared for the next thing? You know, I often use marriage as a good example for so many things. And I think marriage is a good example of focusing sometimes on the right things, and sometimes we can use it on the wrong things, right? And kind of for examples. And I wonder sometimes how many people were stressed out over their wedding. Like so much so that you were more stressed about the wedding than you were about the marriage that follows. And I think, and I've noted that many people will stress over the wedding and all, you know, for the ladies, it's not really fair because from the time that you're little, everybody talks about your wedding day and how beautiful and wonderful your wedding day is going to be. And if you think about Disney messes with people, fairy tales mess with people, because how do all the fairy tales end? With the wedding, right? You know, the whole story is up to the wedding, and then it's like, oh, they lived happily ever after. Do they? You know, the wedding is, I think it's important in some way, but we should focus more on the marriage than the wedding. I've seen a study once that people that have extravagant big weddings and focus on the wedding day tend to not have lasting marriages because they don't focus on what's happening. They're going to happen. They just focus on that one day, and they think that's going to be the best day of their lives. And when that happens, they find out, oh, this was not as exciting as maybe it should be. It wasn't as fulfilling as it should be. And I think that sometimes that people just focus on the day and not the importance of what's going to happen afterwards. And, you know, I'll ask the next question of what are you training your kids to focus on? Are you training your kids to focus on things, to think about things ahead of right now? And I asked that question before. I didn't know if I wanted to ask, what are you thinking on? What are you focusing on? Well, that's kind of the answer to the first question, isn't it? If we don't focus on things to come and what's going to happen next, sometimes, if we're not thinking ahead and we're just focused on the right now, we are inadvertently training our children to do exactly the same thing. Because we lead a little bit by what we say and a whole lot about what we do. And we need to be prepared and be thinking about what is to come because we don't just live in the right now. We have to think about what's going to happen. So what are you training yourself to think about? What are you training yourself to focus on? I think we need to prepare for the things that matter, you know, in life. Like I said, when you come to marriages, if you just focus on the wedding day, you will be completely unprepared for the day after. You know, one needs to be thinking about the marriage afterwards, needs to be thinking about what's going to go on as you go forward. And I had this question, and I don't often bounce things off Brandy, and she's not here, so I'll talk about her. She's in the nursery today. So if you're in the nursery, by the way, you're not here. I just, some of y'all have made, it's like, I haven't seen you for a couple weeks, and you were in the nursery, and I completely forget that you were here if you're in the nursery. Just saying. That's another failure of mine. I asked her, I said, do you remember our wedding at all? See, because I don't think in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, we're coming up on 29 years, the wedding is not that important other than what it signified, right, what it led to. So I asked her, and Brandy has a pretty bad memory about a lot of things, and she'll admit that, so I'm not really talking too much on her. But she remembered some things about our wedding. And she's like, well, I remember back there doing my hair, which wasn't part of the wedding. And she was hungry, so they brought her a cheeseburger. And she remembers trying to eat that cheeseburger and not get it all over the dress that she had on. And, you know, she remembers those things, right? About our wedding, we remember very little about the ceremony and what was going on. I remember that Dad and the preacher was in the back room. And I was just trying to focus to not throw open the trash can. And then during the whole service, I was just focused on don't lock my knees, don't lock my knees. You know, because apparently if you lock your knees, you'll pass out. I repeat that to people when I do their weddings, and I kind of wonder if I should not just to see if it's a thing. But anyway, it'd make it a little bit more memorable if they fell out. But the other part that I remember good is we didn't really practice the cake deal, you know, and the you know, punch deal, and we fed each other the cake, and you know, we did that, and then we gave each other a drink of punch. You're supposed to interlock your arms, right, and drink your own punch, but we were giving it to each other, and you know, and so we messed that up, and it's hilarious to go and think back on it, right? So where I'm going with this is we remember the things about weddings that didn't go right, and we stress over them so much. We stress over a lot of things that later, if it doesn't go right, it's going to be funny. It's going to be the parts you remember is the parts that you goof up on sometimes. Maybe that's just me. But, you know, it's what it signifies that's the important thing, and what it kicks off that is more important. What I was going with, I asked her this time, I said, do you remember anything? And she's like, why do you ask? And I said, well, you know, is the wedding very important? Like in the vastness of time, is it important? And she's like, well, a little bit, you know, but it was, we agreed that it was what it kicked off and not the day itself, so to speak. But I think with people in general, what we know about people, what we focus on, you know, relationships, business, finances, the things that people stress over, often I think we focus on the wrong things, then we have serious issues in those because we're not focusing on the things that really matter whenever we're looking at important topics. And you know that, you know, that when people have mistakes in those areas, it's important because we talk about them, right? I mean, they're maybe on the news depending on what it is. And you know, hopefully if it has to do with relationships, if you're talking about relationships with other people's relationships, you're praying about those, you're keeping it in the right context and not just talking about it. Hopefully you're looking at those things and you're saying, you know, that person's business failure or financial failures, how do I learn from that? How do I apply that to my life? Because it's a whole lot easier for us to learn from someone else's mistakes. And we should be looking at what's going on in that context of what can I get from this? We might even say sometimes, well, I didn't see that coming. You know, I didn't see this coming. Or I didn't think this would actually happen to me. Because I think sometimes we get that idea that we're special and bad things are going to happen to everybody else, but I can do the same thing and it's going to work out for me. You know, and if it's not working out for everybody else, it's probably not going to work out for us either. I want to read Proverbs 27:12. If you all want to stand with me as I read this verse. It says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. We just thank you for the blessings of just all the different blessings that you give us. Lord, I just thank you for the prayers that have been answered and the healings within the people that we know we've been praying for and the guidance that you've given us, Lord. Lord, I just ask you and continue to be with those that need your healing hand, comfort, or guidance. And Lord, I ask that you'd open our hearts to your word this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be seated. It says here, the prudent see danger. So as I was reading my dictionary again, prudent says acting with or showing care and thought for the future. So when you think of being prudent, that's probably not a word we use a whole lot in our day-to-day lives, but that's what prudence is, thinking about the future, acting with care, showing thought as we go into it. Here's another thought for you. Like I said, we don't just live in the now, but the now affects things because today that we're living in is going to become the past and it's going to impact our future. And that's how it's connected. And we should realize that the decisions you make today are going to be part of your history. You know, I would warn young unmarried people for sure. The choices that you make today before you get married are going to be the baggage you carry into the marriage later. So be aware of that. Don't get so heavy laden that you set yourself up for failure in the future. But that can apply to people in any way, in any track of life, right? The past, it becomes our past, and then it's going to impact our future. So the things that we do now is preparing us for the then. I have a friend that is an older gentleman, and he would go down to Dallas every few months and get a bad haircut. That's what he would call it. He was eat up with skin cancer, and he'd go down and they would cut different spots out of him. And, you know, some of his parts are no longer there, right? Some of the parts that should be there is not there any longer. Because when he was younger, he worked for the Corps of Engineers, and he was outside all the time. And the choices he made then for not protecting himself from the sun is impacting him now in a very negative way. And I look at Don, and I think, and I've told him this, so I'm not talking out of turn here. And I've told him, I said, you have inspired me to act like I have skin cancer now so that hopefully I won't end up in the situation you're in later, right? Now, I'm using that as an example because that can be anything, right? And so if you ever see me out mowing the yard, I'm wearing my hat, long sleeves, I've got the thing over, I mean, I'm completely covered up because I'm acting like he acts now so that I won't end up like he does later. We should be looking at things that we can learn from others to say that's not the path that I want to go. But what things are we doing that is going to impact us later in life that we could just take a little bit of precaution today, a little bit of wisdom today, a little bit of prudence, as the Bible said today, and be better prepared for later. You know, the thing is that everyone expects that they can do it, and it won't happen to them, whatever it is. But I'm afraid that a lot of us, we see, you know, it says here in our scripture, the prudent see danger and take refuge. I'm afraid that for us, a lot of us would write, we see the things that confirm our thoughts. We don't look at it prudently. We look at it and we pick out the details that approve of the things we already thought was going to happen. And if 2% of the people are successful in something, you know, I think of a preacher friend of mine that he used to talk about the big casinos down where he lived and the riverboats, and he said they don't build those big fancy things because they're giving money out. You know, they're not building those big buildings because everybody's a winner. He said, and if you ever walk up to one, he said, as you're walking down the track to go out to one of them riverboats, he said, if you listen closely, every time you step on it and that squeaking noise says, fool, fool, fool. But the guys that go down there, and he would tell stories, I heard, and I won't share all the stories, but the people that have destroyed they've gambled away farms, they gambled away life savings, because they thought they would be the guy that beat the system. Because they would look at it and they weren't prudent about it. They would look at it and they would see the one person that maybe was successful and they think, that's going to be me, instead of thinking, that guy just missed it or just happened to get it. But we see here it says they see, right? The prudent see. And we should be looking. We should be looking to see the things and hear the things that we need to hear. You know, it says the prudent see danger and they take refuge. How do we apply that to what I'm talking about? What danger do we say? When I say it's going to happen, you know, there's a lot of it's that's going to happen. There's one it's that's going to happen to all of us, and it's not taxes. Right? They say the two things are sure, death and taxes. And I figured out by watching the news, you don't have to pay your taxes. You can go to jail. You know, but death is going to come for all of us. It's going to happen. Are we prudent to look and see what's going to happen and take refuge? Well, what does refuge mean? It's a place of safety, of hiding, of getting away from the danger, right? What it means for us is that we take our refuge in the Lord, right? We see the danger, we see the sin, and we also should see the plan that God laid out for us, which is refuge in the salvation of Christ. But we see it, we look. You know, and we should be seeing the danger. Now, I'll note here that I'm not saying we need to be paranoid about everything, right? You don't need to see danger in everything and create paranoia. You know, I've been told I was paranoid a time or two, and I said, well, I wasn't ever paranoid before everybody started conspiring against me, you know, so. I will leave that with y'all. You guys can go look up the definition. But it doesn't mean we need to be prudent. We don't need to be looking for danger everywhere, but we need to be prudent in the way we look at it. And when they see it, they plan accordingly, it says. So we take the refuge when we see the trouble coming, and we hold up and we fend it off, is what it's saying. It says, but the simple keep going. Now, I'm thinking there's times in my life that I've been the simple, right? I have mentioned sometimes it's hard to be me. You know, and I sometimes resemble, was that old song that if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, and the simple just keep on going. They ignore the warning signs. And I think about the guy that's floating down the river. And you guys, I mean, there's movies sometimes that show this. And the guy's in the boat going down the river. And he sees the swiftness of the water. And I thought, yeah, that if I was that guy, I'd be like, oh, finally, it's going to get more fun. I'm going to make better time, right? And then the water gets swifter and swifter until what happens? Exactly. There's a waterfall. And by the point he realizes, oh, hold on, this swiftness wasn't to my benefit, it's too late, right? And he can't get out of the boat, and it goes over. And I think that so many times we do that in our lives where, you know, the Bible's warning us here to say we're to be prudent and see the signs, see the danger, and take the refuge, take the precautions, make the plans. And I now know that if I'm ever on an unexplored river and the water starts getting swift, pull over, walk down, and see if there's a waterfall, right, before I continue to go. But it's simple, keep going. We keep pushing forward, us simple-minded people who only see this season of life and we don't think about the next season of life, or, if you will, this life and we don't think about the next life. We just think about the here and now. We don't prepare. We're not thinking that there is something to come. And by the time we're ready to make that decision and we see we have to, we've already made the mistake. And as it says there in verse 12, the simple keep going and what? Pay the price or pay the penalty. We have the penalty to be paid. And in this life, if we're not ready for the trip to the next life, that penalty is much deeper than we want to pay. You know, often it's not talked about as much as it should be, but, you know, hell is a price that we don't want to pay. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, and that death is an eternal death. Where the Bible says that the way I see it, we fall forever and our worm does not decay, meaning that we fall forever and the worm that is in us does not die, and it stays there forever. It's not a pretty picture. But the prudent, they know where they're headed. They plan. The simple, they're just where they are. They think about the current and not the future. You know, how often do we hear people warn us about outcomes and we push forward? We keep going. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:22, and I realize I didn't have my slide for that one, but it says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And I have found in today's climate, especially with social media, we have many advisors. Whether you want them or not, you got many advisors. How do you choose the right advisors? How do you look and you say, that's the person I'm going to listen to? Because the Bible says plans fail for lack of counsel, right? But with many advisors, they succeed. We need to qualify the people that we take counsel from. We need to qualify the people that we take advice from. You need to not pay attention to everything, but qualify the ones that you should listen to, the ones that are wise. You know, you should first, I think, see how their advice lines up with the Word. You know, are they biblical counsels, or is it just their thoughts? And you should also say, well, how did they apply that in their life, and how did it work out for them? I remember I had a guy that before Brandy and I were getting married, and you know, we got married pretty young. I was 19 and she was 17. And so we got married pretty young, and I had a guy there at the gas station. He come in, and I may have shared this with y'all before, but he gave me some good marital advice. He said, he's like, hey, you need to you need to take my advice. He said, you need to live with her for about 6 months before you get married. I said, oh, yeah? He said, yeah, I did it with all three of my wives. And I'm thank you for your advice. I now know exactly what not to do. Because your advice did not work out for you, I can't expect it to work out for me, right? Now, I'd throw out there, since I mentioned that, studies do show that if you do that, you're at a far more likelihood of that marriage not lasting. It says there in Philippians 3:17, he says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. We see also, keep your eyes on those that live as we do. Take the model of those around us. The prudent see the trouble coming and they take the refuge. They live different than the other people around them. They take action on what they see might happen, might be, that they want to avoid. Here's another important piece of the prudent. They make sacrifices. That's a dirty word in today's life, I think, making sacrifices. So many of us, we want it now. We want it easy. We want that five-minute clip that gives us all the knowledge we're going to need for the rest of our life. We don't want to suffer through anything. We don't want to make a sacrifice for to gain knowledge or gain anything else. But anything that's worth having is worth suffering or sacrificing for. And we don't, like I say, we don't want to suffer. And here's the thing, we're going to suffer one way or the other. You either suffer as you prepare, right? And you're suffering to do without to be prepared. Or, you know, no pain, no gain in athletics. If you don't practice and you don't have the pain in practice, you're going to suffer the embarrassment of the major loss, right? So the suffering is going to happen. It's just when do you want it to happen? Do you want to suffer being prepared or suffer afterwards? I think the most important thing, though, is, as it says, they take refuge, and in the end, they have relief. You know, all of those things are being prepared for that next step, that next thing, the it that's coming. And I have never met one single person in my life that regretted a good decision. I've never seen anybody have regret that, you know, I just really thought way too much about that to make a good decision. I've seen people that thought too much about it and made a bad decision and regretted it, but no one have I ever met has regretted making a good decision. With many counsel, many advisors, plans exceed our number one advisor, our number one counselor should be the word. You know, the prudent pray, they see the trouble coming, they have wisdom enough to know what to do about it and courage enough to act on it. I think many times we see the trouble coming, we see the thing happening, we know it's going to happen, but we don't actually have the courage to do anything about it. I think at times in my life, you know, and that sounds silly, right? I remember when I was little, I was probably about seven, eight years old, and I was trying to dig under this old house where this dog had went and got puppies back there, and I was moving the boards out, you know, because the boards were there to keep the dog. They didn't work. But she got back there and had her puppies, and we were moving that to get to the puppies. And I remember moving a board and seeing a copperhead about this big coming at me. And the next thing I remember is being back about 10 foot and the dead copperhead and Dad shaking me saying, are you all right? I froze up. I went, you know, we don't always have the courage. We see the danger and sometimes we just freeze up and we don't have the courage to act on the thing that we know we should. And, you know, it doesn't only happen to the little people. It happens to adults sometimes as well. Because we're worried about what someone might think. What's coming next? You know, we know it. Sometimes we say, you know, I know what's coming. I know what's going to happen, but I really just want to be in control of my life. I want to be the one making the decisions for me. Maybe we know we need to repent of something. We need to give something up that's in our lives keeping us from the Lord, but we just don't really want to. And we look and we say, you know, I know Christ is Lord and Savior, and I know I need to trust Him. But I really just want Him as my Savior. I don't really want Him as my Lord. Y'all know what I'm talking about? A lot of us like to look at Him. We love the idea of Christ forgiving us. We just don't like the part about the obedience. We like the good. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, you know, the reason we celebrate Christmas so much more than we celebrate Easter is because we love to look at the baby, but we don't like to look at the cross. Right? Because the baby brought the salvation, brought the hope, brought the joy. But what does the cross bring? Conviction, admittance, reflection that we put Christ there through our sins. I'm going to ask Larry Travis to come sing him invitation. You know, we won't be prepared for what's next if we haven't accepted Him as our Savior. Because it is coming. There will be a time. If that happened today, where will you be? What are we singing, guys? As we get that together, I want to ask you all to stand with me. Maybe you're here this morning, you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior. I'm going to ask you to come up. Let's pray about that. Maybe there's something else that's on your mind. Maybe something else is in your way of doing what He's calling you to do. I'm going to ask you to come pray with me about that as well. What are we singing?
Page 316.
316. We got the feed back there and the business meeting following, so stay for that. If you don't want to stay for both, at least stay for the food, and then no services tonight since we're having business meeting this afternoon. So I'll also remind you, remember to go by and see the embarrassment on Brittany's face as you say, "Let me see your ring." So she thought I'd forgot about it, and yeah. So, with that, Jacob, would you dismiss us and go ahead and bless the food as well?